The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day, rise again. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what can they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. So our theme this week is Come to the Table of Hope. Who would have thought that when we determined that we wanted our church to be a place of welcome, you know, here's our Bible verse for this capital campaign we're in the thick of, "Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God," right? Who would have ever thought that when we decided to do that, by among other things, building this welcome center that's under construction, that we'd be using it before it was even finished to welcome people. You know, some people asked who were visiting and helping us this week with our concrete floors and our missing drywall out there. They said, "Well, were you flooded too?" And yes, we were flooded. When the staff met Wednesday to organize our disaster response, we were hoping we could get maybe 100 people to come out and help some of the cleanup efforts. Instead, this past week, as Pastor David told you, we welcomed 850 people into this building and organized them to help the victims of the storm. They came from Lord of Life, St. Simon and Jude, our new ministry partner around the corner, Trinity across the pond, that's what we call Trinity over there, Spirit of Joy, Lutheran Church, St. Anthony's, and some of our Buddhist and Hindu friends, and others simply out of their need to serve. And yes, what a flood this building had, huh? That doesn't even count those of you who on your own help families and neighbors and co-workers. And there were people who didn't even register who sent over by Interfaith food for workers, supplies, on and on, people in and out of here. Some people prayed. I found a sign in the back of the sanctuary that was propped up there that said, "Pray here." And that was part of our work this last week. A lot of people helped at the St. Simon and Jude Red Cross shelter around the corner for several days, brought food and supplies and gallons of vinegar and hundreds of face masks. And, you know, the kitchen crew, this was kind of funny, who created like God does, out of nothing. They didn't know what they were going to work with. And then all of a sudden stuff just happened, and they were serving hundreds of people with no stoves that worked in our kitchen, which sounds like it's going to be fixed soon. One of the volunteers said, "We're going to take care of this. We need some stoves in this place." So that's great. You know, there was one thing after another. People answered phones. They communicated. They provided childcare, organized the clothing, sorting for this center that opens that you heard about, right? People who succeeded in mucking out about 45 houses in our community. Isn't that something? Last year we did 3 and we were proud of that. There were people who delivered equipment, shared their trucks, wrote checks to the pastor's discretionary fund. You can still do that, by the way. And people who kept the church functioning in the midst of all this planned chaos, right? And we all shared in this miracle that happened all over the Houston area, where 1,100 people were rescued and 30,000 people were sheltered, right? Brought relief and hope to hundreds of thousands more, I suspect. This is hope. Welcome to the table of hope. You know, that's what hope looks like. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised at the outpouring of hope and love experienced across the whole metro area. After all, it is our responsibility, isn't it? As our second lesson said, to let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what's good, outdo one another in showing honor, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, living in harmony with one another, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give the thirsty a drink. And after all, Jesus invites us to take up our cross and follow him, right? Not his cross. He's already saved the world. That's not our cross, right? Our cross is the situations we find ourselves in on a daily basis, wherever you show up. That's where your cross is to be found. Like in this storm, being broken and poured out here, like bread broken and wine poured at the Lord's table of hope for those around you in need of hope. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised at this either, but it did surprise me. The joy, the good humor, and the patience I witnessed in all these people who came to serve, people who gave days and days of exhausting toil, all in a spirit of fun and joy. One team came back at the end of one of the days and shared with us their experience. They'd gone to a house down here in Timber Ridge, and there was an older woman home, and they went up to her and said, "Can we help you?" And nothing had happened there yet. They could tell because nothing was on the street. And she said, "Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. My husband's not home, and he's such a grouch. I don't think you should come here." So they said, "Well, we'll just wait for a while." And then she came out and said, "I could use one of your girls to help me with something in the kitchen." "Okay." A few minutes later, "Do you have a couple more that could come in and help me with this?" "Sure." Then her husband arrived. She was scared to death. And the leader of the team came back and he said to me, "I just decided to see the face of Christ in this man." And so he did. And the guy never got grouchy the whole 2 days they worked with him. You know, they might have saved that marriage even by doing this mucking, you know. "I decided to see Christ in my neighbor." Sounds like Luther, too. Now, it shouldn't be surprising, because it simply demonstrates, again, one of the great paradoxes of our Christian faith, that in saving your life, you're just going to lose it. It's like a loaf of bread that goes moldy. But in giving it, you gain more and more abundantly till it overflows. That's what Jesus was getting at with his disciples in this gospel reading. This is hope, the hope the world needs to experience. That in giving up, surrendering your lives for others in the spirit of Jesus who gave himself up for us in the first place, you gain so much more than you could ever imagine. You see that? This is how life is to be lived. In giving, you receive. Because anything we give or do is simply a part of the flow of God's abundance and grace that's in the universe. The smarts you have to solve things, part of the flow of God's goodness and grace. The hands you use to comfort someone in grief and pain, that's just part of the flow of God's abundance and grace. That's where life is to be had. However you're living out your calling and whatever occupies your time from day to day. It's in this attitude of serving, self-giving love. And when we're doing that, being what God has made us to be in our calling, we're going to be happy. That's why people are having such a good time around here this week. Did you notice, too, this last week, wherever you were, how the more people were caught up in this positive energy of giving, how little all the political bickering mattered? Just nobody even talked about it. Who cares? How little differences of color and culture mattered this past week, huh? When we're in the flow of God's abundance and grace, joy can overtake all that petty stuff and make us happier with each other. And that's part of what the peace prayers that we're starting, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, Don't pray until next Wednesday, right? Wednesdays at 6:30, wherever you are, but if you can come here to the sanctuary for a few minutes, that'd be great. But it's going to get us to more consistently be in the flow of God's abundance and grace, praying for peace, so that whatever's been dividing us doesn't matter so much anymore in comparison to the hope we share of a world restored and redeemed, so that we can see it, this world, in the self-giving, abundant, graceful, eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whose table of hope we're all welcomed. Here's one of the prayers that we're going to encourage you to be praying, another evidence of what we saw over this past week, time and time again, of this abundant, joyful, self-giving life. Listen to this. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's injury, let me sow love. Where there's doubt, pardon. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, not so much to be understood as to understand, not so much to be loved as to love. For it's in giving that we receive, it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying, that we're born to eternal life. So welcome one and all to the table of hope given and shed for you, where you receive your marching orders, your occupation, your hope, your joy, and your life.